Good Shepherd Sermon for Sunday, November 15th, 2020. Pastor John Melke.
Good Shepherd Lutheran Church and School is located in Wisconsin Rapids, Wisconsin, in the United States. Our mission is simple and bold. We seek to grow in faith and knowledge of our Savior Jesus. We want to make him known to others so that they too may share the joys that Jesus has won for them. Here's Pastor.
We believe that Jesus died and rose again. We believe that God the Father will bring with those who have fallen asleep in Jesus by faith to himself. Therefore, on this Saints' Triumphant Sunday, we encourage each other with those words. Brothers and sisters in Christ, when you called your pastors to serve as the under-shepherds of the great shepherd of the sheep, it comes with a great responsibility, a serious one. Our responsibility is to be sure that we share with you biblical treasures, both from the Old and New Testaments. And those biblical treasures are to be available for you to create faith in those who don't know Christ yet, or to strengthen the faith of those who've already come to faith through baptism and through the instruction of the Word. That's a serious responsibility, and we take it seriously. Where our goal is to make sure that everything we do is 100%. 100% that you hear that Jesus Christ is your living Savior and Redeemer. 100% of what you see and believe with all your heart so that you can have the chance to be with Jesus and see him in person in the heavenly mansions. And while that's all true, that our goal is to have you at your earthly death, have your soul go to heaven, or on Judgment Day, whenever that comes, to have your body and soul reunited to be with Jesus forever in heaven with all the saints and angels before him. The reality is that after this service, neither one of your pastors will set up a Zoom call for you to later to talk about your impending death. We're not going to do that, even though Al said on Thursday he wouldn't mind if we did that for him. We're not going to go do that one-on-one now. But we want you to be prepared. Because the time is coming when the day dawns, Judgment Day, when we will either have to admit that we are worthy of God's holy presence or we need to be shut out from his holy presence. And that's really what this parable is talking about. Parable of the rich or the wise and foolish virgins. Parable that you've heard many, many times before, but a parable which Jesus wants us to be warned about. Because in this warning, there are some who claim to be in Christ's church, but really are not. And we need to be warned to make sure that we are the wise and not the foolish in our text. So to take these words from Jesus, we're going to put it in the form of a question for our theme for today. Is there oil in your lamp? At that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. When the foolish ones took their lamps, they did not take any oil with them. The bridegroom is Jesus, returning to take his believers with him to heaven. Who are these young ladies in our text who are foolish and also wise? Well, they must be, according to this story, ones who are waiting for the bridegroom to come. And if Jesus is the bridegroom, these virgins must be ladies who are preparing for the second coming of Christ. And as they're waiting for him, they realize that he's talked about it in his word, and they have heard that word of God, and they're there to wait for his second coming that could come at any time. But why are some foolish and some are wise? Well, the word foolish in the Greek is the word moroni, which comes from the word we get for moron. I don't think anyone wants to be a moron when Jesus comes back. You want to be wise, not foolish, to have your hearts prepared for the coming of Christ. And what does the oil and the lamp represent? Remember what the Bible says in the Psalms, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. Or the Apostle Paul says to us in 1 Thessalonians, do not put out the Spirit's fire. You think about the tongues of fire above the apostles' heads on the day of Pentecost, one of the great three celebrations of the Christian church year. So we can see that the picture is here of the oil representing the Holy Spirit's fire of faith that is used to give us that wonderful gift of faith, the powerful gospel in means of grace, the word and sacrament, baptism and Holy Communion. As you see those fans of flame being filtered through God's word, we see that we are able to enjoy the gift of faith. We are no longer morons, but we are wise in God's heavenly presence because we know what Jesus has done and accomplished for us. So why do these five foolish ones, these morons, have no oil? They obviously claimed to be part of the Christian church, but they were not. They did not have faith in Christ. They were neglecting what they had heard and seen, and they were only pretending to be Christian people. That's a direct warning for us, isn't it? Jesus gives us a warning. Is there oil in your lamp? And because your pastors are concerned for your spiritual souls, we want you to be aware that there are many who claim to be Christian and even are part of the Christian church now, but they are not in the invisible church. They are not true believers. We don't know who they are because we can't look into hearts, but the Lord knows. And we want to be warned to make sure that you are not those who are considered foolish. How do you warn yourself? Well, let's realize what God says in his word. To say, for example, that you are pro-life is not the definition of a Christian. To say that you don't drink too much of alcoholic beverages on a Saturday night does not define you as a Christian. To claim that you don't swear and curse and use God's name wrongly from time to time does not define you as a Christian. To claim that, well, because I went to church on a regular basis and I'm watching on a live streaming from around the world does not define you as a Christian. So is there oil in your lamp? If the only reason you can come up with because you're watching us online or because you're here in worship during a pandemic is because, well, your parents made you come today, or because that's how grandparents raised me or my parents raised me, and that's the only reason why you're here, is there oil in your lamp? What Jesus is really asking is, what are you really thinking about? Do you really need me? And are you really in desperate concern for your sins and the need to be forgiven of all your sins? Is there oil in your lamp? Also, there's this wrong idea about faith to begin with. Perhaps some might say, yeah, I believe in God and all this stuff. Does that define you as a Christian? Instead of saying, the reason I believe in Jesus and in God is because I remember what Jesus has done for me and what he accomplished for me with his life, death, and resurrection. Or someone might say, well, you just have to believe. Believe in what? That the sky is blue? That life will get better as time goes on? That's not faith at all. That's not faith in the Christian God, the God we adore and worship. Is there oil in your lamp? While the bridegroom was delayed, they all became drowsy and fell asleep. But at midnight there was a shout, look, the bridegroom, come out to meet him. Then all those virgins got up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish one said to the wise, give us some of your oil because our lamps are going out. But the wise answered, no, there may not be enough for us and for you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves. Notice the warning Jesus gives us in our text. Give us some oil. What does Jesus mean by that? I've kind of hinted at that already, haven't I? If you're only thinking that you can have faith in Christ Jesus because of what your parents or grandparents have done for you, that's not true faith. And Jesus will say, depart from me, I never knew you. If you think that your faith in Christ is there and strong and vibrant because, well, because my child goes to the Lord's Supper with me, or because the child has taken catechism instruction with me, that's not necessarily faith in Christ. If you say that, well, I'm going to go to heaven with my spouse because my spouse goes to church for me, remember, you can't get faith from your spouse. If you think that you can get faith in Christ because, well, my parents, They're Christians. I see them go to church every week. God does not have grandchildren. He simply has children. Children of God, bought by the precious blood of Christ. So there are all kinds of ways and means in which we think that we can get to heaven because of what someone else has accomplished for us instead of Christ. If that's what our thinking is, that we can get to heaven because of what someone else has done, because of someone else is doing on our behalf, Jesus says, I'm going to slam that door shut in your face. And paradise is not yours at all. Is there oil in your lamp? What about this closing of the door? Well, while they were away buying the oil, the bridegroom came. Those who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. It could either mean one of two things. Your earthly death has come, and your body and soul have separated from each other. Or judgment day has come, and you're standing before God's throne. When one of those two things happen, either one, it's too late to try to grab faith for yourself, which, of course, it's not how it works anyway. It's too late once that door gets shut, and you need to have oil in your faith, oil in your heart. Keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour. So, my friends, how do you know that you have enough oil in your lamp? How do you know that the Holy Spirit has fired you up with the gospel of Jesus Christ? I'll ask a simple question. You've heard it before. Many Christians have pondered this question before, and many who claim to be Christian have pondered the same question and got it wrong. What about you? If today is your last day on this earth, and you're standing before the Lord God at his heavenly gates, and he says to you, why should I let you into my heaven? What would you say? I don't know. I'm not sure. If those are the answers to that question, why should I let you into my heaven from your God, your heavenly Father, you're in trouble. You're going to be eternally separated from your God. Jesus will say, I never knew you. The answer might be given, well, I tried to do my best throughout my life. Wrong answer. You will not find yourself in heavenly mansions if you think that's the way you're going to get into God's heaven. God instead says to you, I disqualified you because I asked you to look at my word and you rejected my word. Or you went into my word and you changed my word. Or you looked at my word and didn't do what my word says. So what did I do? Your heavenly Father says, I was so disappointed in you that I decided to take the blame and put it on someone else. I looked at my son who was used to be in heaven's throne. I sent him to earth and made him the sacrificial lamb. And I let him live a perfect life in your place. And I allowed him to go to a cross. He went there willingly to sacrifice himself on a bloody cross for the sins of the entire world, including yours and mine. And I raised him up on the third day. And because he too lives, you too will one day live with me because you have faith in Jesus, what he's done for you. Bible-believing Christians, that's the answer to the question, why should God let you into his heaven? Not because of anything I have done, not because of my own efforts, but because of what Jesus has done for you. So you don't need to be a moron and reject Christ as a foolish virgin. Instead, you can be a wise child of God. Because God has said to you, I've given you the ticket. It's free. Take it. It's yours. Let the Holy Spirit fan that fire, faith in your life. Use that faith to let you know that you are risen, you are receiving the wonderful gift of God through the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let the Lord God know that you are willing to take that ticket by God's grace and receive that ticket freely by his grace through the redemption that came through the blood of Jesus Christ. So is there oil in your lamp? There is. When you continue to be in the Word of God, when you continue to take the sacrament of Holy Communion, when you find the strength of God to know that all this is his by grace alone. So my friends, there is oil in your lamp. Let it burn brightly in your life. Let it burn brightly in your faith, because God is going to make you a saint triumphant with him. When you get to sing all the alleluias before the shepherd the Lamb of God who took away all the sins of the world. That's the loving peace that we have in Christ Jesus our Lord. In his name we pray. Amen.